Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
High fly ball into right field. She is gone! In a year that has been so improbable, the impossible has happened.
Vin Scully used the English language in a very beautiful way. He was a gentleman of the game, and yesterday he passed away at age 94. Cheers to Vin Scully, an absolute legend, obviously Dodger country, but all of baseball, did some football games, and no surprise, had some legendary football calls as well. I'm Vanessa Richardson, Paul Gallant, Sean Mapes with you from 10 to noon. Legend, guys, 94 years old, not many like him.
I mean, imagine someone that has 100% approval across the country. Who doesn't like Vin Scully outside of maybe aspiring Dodgers broadcasters that are like, why the hell is he still going? How the hell is he still going? The guy has been the narrator for so many important moments in sports history. Did you know that he was on the call of the catch between the Cowboys and 49ers?
I didn't know until I saw that on Twitter. I'm like, damn, Vince Scully narrated that legendary moment too?
I didn't know he was there.
And
you heard that.
Me.
That was Kirk Gibson hitting his home run. Hank Aaron hitting home run number 715. And universal appeal. Broadcasters should not be remembered, but there are very special exceptions. And that guy did a hell of a job. And I hate to say that I feel anything for Dodgers fans, but I do feel for Dodgers fans. It's like losing your grandpa, you know?
It really is. Imagine being the person that had to follow him. We're going to talk about him throughout the show, and of course, we're going to play some of his legendary moments. Let's go to the baseball team here in Houston. The Houston Astros falling last night 2-1 to the Boston Red Sox. They dropped 2 of 3 to the Red Sox back in May. If they can win today, the Astros, it would be the same record. What is it about the Red Sox?
I don't know, but I mean, damn it, Vanessa. They had 5 hits. They had 2 runs, and you lost. And look, we saw Trey Mancini. We saw Christian Vasquez back-to-back in the 9th. I mean, that was a neat way to have them introduced. But I don't know. I mean, I thought this Boston team was dead in the water. I want Rafael Devers. Hey, Thicky. Slow your roll with the 8-second bat flip and stroll to first base when your team's not even at 500 and you're in last bleeping place and you're the Boston Red Sox with a $200 million plus payroll. But yeah, I don't know what it is. Certain teams have their number. What's been annoying is that you have seen two teams sandwiched around these two series against the Mariners where they've taken care of business. You've seen two teams that aren't as good randomly be able to handle them.
Well, Endeavors was responsible for both of their hits, and he was coming off the 10-day IL with a shoulder issue. So he came back with the vengeance, pretty much the sole reason that the Red Sox were able to get the win, because Christian Javier had a good game. He went 6 innings.
He was good, yes!
He was very solid. The bats just couldn't back him up.
Strikeouts were there, as they always are with Javier. I mean, yeah, the bats need to wake the bleep up. And I mean, at least Jeremy Peña got a couple of hits last night, so that's nice, but yeah, I'm a little frustrated. And yeah, if you're watching on Twitch, yeah, I am wearing a Mariners shirt. The Mariners beat the Yankees last night. I am rooting for the Mariners to beat the Yankees, any team to beat the Yankees. And guess what? You know what, wifey? You're in timeout. You're in timeout. I need some runs. You know, I went up and looked it up, Vanessa.
Just need something different.
Well, I mean, look, it's been really the same thing all year long. And I guess because they had been so hot for the last month, you kind of can look the other way. But if you take a look at the numbers, Vanessa, for the season as far as what the Astros have been doing offensively, 12th in runs scored, 18th in hits, 20th in batting average. Batting average, not the end-all be-all, and I think they're 6th in OPS, which is nice. I mean, that's the metric that everyone is looking at these days. But I mean, even that, don't you want to be higher than that? And a night like last night, it's very frustrating because that was winnable. Like, your pitching did what it was supposed to do. Your pitching has done what it's supposed to do a lot this year. And I'm really hoping that with more Mancini, with more Vasquez, that we get more offense. Maldonado's great defensive catcher, great at calling games. I'm sorry, like... you know, I just look at last night's lineup and I think to myself, they need to find ways to score runs as many as they possibly can, and they just don't have the way to do it for whatever reason right now.
I try to rationalize things in life. It's what the kids would say could be my toxic trait. But in this case, what I'm trying to rationalize is, okay, Christian Vasquez, let's face it, was not in the right mindset. You could tell he was crushed to leave the Red Sox. I think he's going to be fine with the Astros, but anybody who in their press conference says, don't forget I'm a free agent after this season, so maybe I could go back to the Red Sox, which is what he said to fans, that needs to be taken into consideration.
Did Christian Vasquez ground out on purpose? Yes. 713-780-3776.
But you also have Trey Mancini, you know, getting traded, the emotions that come with that. Alex Bregman, probably not very well rested because, let's see, his wife had a baby the night before. So
I can't believe he was back out there, by the
I
way.
Know.
That's the shortest paternity and leave I've ever seen. I feel bad about my paternity leave takedown. He goes stay away. Who cares, man?
Yeah.
It's fine.
Pull the clip. it was apparently Reagan Bregman, his wife, that was like, no, you're going to go play. So much respect
That's
for
a badass
Reagan Bregman.
Wife.
It is, but I mean, he probably isn't well rested. Brantley is still out. So for me, I'm trying to rationalize, okay, maybe they're just not at their best right now. But to your point, the A's, the Red Sox, they just struggle against.
Yeah.
I mean, so straight up. And then the Yankees, they win.
Yep. Not a panic button. It's more a annoyance button.
Correct. That's a great way of putting it.
It's a leave you on red button, right? That's what I'm doing. And yes, I'm wearing this shirt. Sorry. You know, as we have all established, I am polyamorous.
P-A-U-L.
Exactly.
Y-amorous.
Thank you.
All right, let's talk about Dusty Baker, some of his managerial decisions. Mancini and Vasquez were active. You were wondering why they didn't start. You wanted to see these guys in the lineup.
I wanted them in there. I mean, some of the things that you just said a couple of seconds ago, Vanessa, are probably why. I mean, there's a lot going on, and maybe you want to give them time to ease into their new role, to meet people in the dugout. I think one way to do that, you know, you sit in the dugout for a whole game, you're going to get to chat guys up after, you know, being in the clubhouse and stuff too. But I just want to inject this team with offense right now. And, you know, you mentioned a second ago, Brantley. It was interesting to hear from James Click a multitude of times yesterday, and he gave us a couple of updates on things. And, you know, with Brantley, they're optimistic and hopeful about him, but there's no update, no change in status. And, I mean, that just makes me feel like Lance McCullers.
Yeah, you know? I don't like that.
No. I'm like, oh, okay, so it's probably going to be another month or something like
the
that.
The Astros are notoriously one of the franchises that is really secretive about injuries. There are pros and cons to that. One of the cons, obviously, is with media. The same thing with Lance McCullers. We had no idea what that was until months later when I think it almost slipped in an interview with the media where he gave the actual diagnosis and it was like, what?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, it makes you wonder about the outfield too, because also in that same press conference, James Click said that, look, we have faith in Jake Meyers. Okay. Maybe from a defensive perspective, I do. But I know a lot of people with this move that was made are thinking to themselves, hey, how can we maybe tinker with the lineup a little bit? Because Dusty Baker even said at the trade deadline, we wanted to get a center fielder. Well, they don't have a center fielder, and we're also seeing that they don't want to move Kyle Tucker into center field. They were asked directly about that, so they don't. So I know a couple of people on the Twitch line have been saying, hey, well, why not move Tucker to center field? And then you can kind of configure your outfield from there. They don't want to do that, so I don't know. I feel like you're going to have some dead weight in center field for a little bit of time. No offense to Jake Meyers, because that's what he's been of late.
Lance McCullers Jr. getting a rehab start last night. 76 pitches over 3 1/3 innings. He allowed 3 runs through 2 scored after he left the game. Two scored after he left the game.
So I mean, the amount of strikeouts is
Spillane,
nice.
By the way,
the amount of pitches is nice. I don't know what to make of it, but at the very least, he's out there as opposed
to
Michael
Brantley.
It's
hard to tell with minor. I mean, it is hard to tell, even if it's AAA.
Well, even spring training, because pitchers are so strange when it comes to rehab and also ramping up to the regular season, because they'll be like, yeah, I was really just working on a couple of things, and I really like what I did out there. And they gave up 6 runs in one inning. They're like, yeah, but like the stuff I was throwing was the way that I wanted to throw it. It confuses me always. I'll just defer to the pitchers on that. Please explain it to me some more.
Yeah, James Click said in the interview 2 days ago that they were nowhere near done, and they were, as it turns out, in fact done. Yeah. Do you like the moves that they made? I think they got better with Trey Mancini. I don't know that they added that much more depth. I know he's versatile. The catching position, obviously, I think they got what they needed. Jason Castro with the injury and all that, safe to say that's done. Corey Lee, Dusty Baker is high on Corey Lee, but doesn't think maybe he's ready for it quite yet. So I like the addition of Vasquez. Do you think that they should have done more? What's your take on that?
I like the moves that they did, and honestly, it's consistent with the way that they've approached things for a really long time. So you bring in Mancini, you get a guy, who...
I appreciate you trying to make it more Italian.
I just see it.
Gagagool. What do they say? Gagagool.
You're going to drop a Mancini Alfredo here in a second.
Okay, oh, that is a great nickname.
Only real Italians
drop it on
that.
The.
I'm saying
AT&T
it on the pregame.
It's anti-Italian discrimination here, okay? You shut your mouth or I'll shut it for you. Anyway, back to Trey Mancini. Shoot. Look, you have some flexibility. You have some depth. You have an extra bat.
In Vasquez, you do, but how do you use Vasquez? Like that, that's what I'm wondering about. Because they really like Martin Maldonado. And nothing against Maldonado. He's just nowhere close to the same hitter that Vasquez is. Vasquez is clutch. If you go back and check his track record, like Vasquez has had big moments against the Yankees of all teams. And now he's on your team. So you want him more. And you need to make sure that he is ready to go and that he gets the necessary amount of opportunities to stay in whatever rhythm he's in. I mean, this is a guy who's hitting 285 as a catcher. Like, you don't find those very often. So I guess now I'm just wondering, how is Dusty Baker going to use the lineup? How is he going to construct his lineup? Because I think, for the most part this year, we have had a lot of questions about how Dusty Baker goes about making said lineup. And look, I mean, some things that we've seen of late, like Yuli Gurriel batting second, seems to be getting more out of Gurriel than what we have been seeing before. But at the same time, you wonder how he'll do it. And there are other guys on this team that just need to step up, plain and simple.
The Yankees added a reliever and starter that are good against the Astros. The Astros added a couple of guys that historically have been good against the Yankees. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, you've heard the NFL news with the Miami Dolphins. We talk about the tanking. We talk about the tampering and the reaction coming up next.
This is Heisman Trophy winner, College Football Hall of Famer Eddie George, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
All right, we are rolling along on a Wednesday. The Miami Dolphins getting the hammer from Roger Goodell and the NFL. The owner, Stephen Ross, suspended for 6 games and fined $1.5 million. Maybe a lot for us, not that much for a billionaire. And he has to stay in one of his many vacation houses. He can't be at the facility through the middle of October. So they were basically found very guilty of tampering, trying to get Sean Payton and Tom Brady. The tanking was basically, yeah, they joked around about it, but we can't substantiate that they wanted it for sure. Stephen Ross not happy about this, releasing a statement being very kind of contentious, which is funny to me because I don't think it's that harsh of a punishment. The harshest part is probably the first round draft pick.
Vanessa, the official reporting on how Stephen Ross's mood was that he is going, and I quote, ape bleep.
Oh.
Yes. Actual report, Stephen Ross going ape bleep. And then you saw the statement that the Dolphins put out. And I don't know, maybe it was just the font that they were using. But did anyone else notice that the Dolphins put out a statement on Twitter that was in all caps, which is always something that you expect from a very rational, sane, level-headed person. An all caps text. What's the last all caps text you got? Not from me. I don't count. I'm immune from this.
The last all caps text I got. Good question. My sister texts with a lot of emotion.
Okay.
So probably one from my sister. Other than that, I don't know. That's a good question.
How about you, Sean Mapes? What's the last time that you got an all caps text?
I have a friend that also has a lot of, so I get a lot of LMFAOs, all caps,
same.
LOLs, all caps.
My sister is a theater teacher in Chicago in a really, really, really wealthy area of Chicago, and I'll get an all caps letter. Guess what this kid said to me today? So I get a lot of those. I don't know if I've gotten an angry text lately.
Wait, what'd that kid say to her?
I know. I want to know too.
She just has a lot. She just has a lot of stories. Like they'll come in and they're it's you
stories.
Know they're with their nannies. They're or like okay. Ooh. So here's actually a really funny story. So she was at least I think it's really funny. She was doing games with these kids, and one of the like 6 year olds looked at her and said, "I respond better to collaborative games than I do competitive."
Okay.
It's very.
Is that Gen
Rich,
Z?
Rich from the
is that post lower than Gen Z?
Yeah, right. I bet Gen Z thinks that that generation's already right. soft.
And there you
and
go.
The cycle continues. It never ends. But
that's
anyway.
Those are the cap texts I get.
Here's what Stephen Ross's statement said. The independent investigation cleared our organization on any issues related to tanking and all of Brian Flores' other allegations. Let's pause for a second. What? No, it didn't. Didn't do any of that. Didn't do any of that at
it
all.
It actually proved it.
Yes, it basically said everything is true except for the thing that might implicate the Dolphins for tanking, which sounded true, but it's hearsay, kind of. I think that the specific terms that the NFL were used to describe the word that was said from Stephen Ross to Brian Flores, differing recollections about the wording, timing, and context. However phrased, such a comment was not intended to be taken as a serious offer. The $100,000 per loss bonus that was supposedly offered.
That's the most surprising part of this to me, is that they came down so hard on the tampering. Yes, they tried to get Sean Payton. Yes, they tried to get Tom Brady while he was still in New England, blah, blah, blah. But the fact that they said, oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, they wanted him to tank, but it was just a joke. And if it wasn't a joke, we can't really prove that it wasn't a joke.
Right.
I mean, you have to remember, Roger Goodell would have to punish his boss. Did he technically punish one of his bosses? Yeah, I think a lot of people would say it was lighter than what it should have been. A billionaire doesn't even feel $1.5 million.
You know what I think, Vanessa? And I'm going to put my tinfoil hat on. We need to get a tinfoil hat.
We really do.
For all of us.
We're into conspiracies here.
So
not QAnon.
Thanks for the the clarification.
But I am in QAnon.
Yes, that's true. Sean Mays in QAnon, which is topical as we talk about Stephen Ross. So
we'll get to that in a second.
So I think that the NFL is actually punishing him for the tanking, but they're basically making it so that everyone knows, no, this was about the tampering. But if you take a look at this compared to past tampering penalties, this is pretty damn severe. Like, the last times that we've seen first round picks taken away were for stuff that involved Tom Brady, which is funny. I think like all three times that a first round pick's been taken away, it's
and Spygate. Players can't get punished for tampering, by the way.
Right.
So people that were like, just a side note, and I rarely stick up for Tom Brady, but everyone's like, well, won't Tom get in trouble? It's a thing. Players do not get in trouble for tampering.
And tampering isn't that big of a deal, too. Think about it from this perspective.
Like, no.
You can easily talk to somebody around the lines of like meeting face to face. The problem was that this face to face meeting almost happened and there was a witness.
Well, Sean Payton and Tom Brady have the same agent,
right?
Donnie. So realistically was probably a couple of conversations.
Exactly. But like, tampering is not the issue here. The issue is tanking. And that's the other thing too, is that it's accepted. It's accepted across all sports. Like in basketball, everyone's like, yeah, we're not tanking. Wink, wink. As they, you know, what was it? The Oklahoma City Thunder put out a team of like a bunch of guys that you would never, ever have recognized. Even if you were like a diehard college basketball fan or European basketball fan, you would be like, who the hell are any of these right. guys? Did they get them from the Y? And now the NFL is saying, in a way, in my tinfoil hat conspiracy, we know what you were doing. We are going to hit you as hard as we generally will hit somebody because we want you to know. Because a first-round pick and a third-round pick is a much, I think, more heavy-handed penalty to give out than a fine, as you mentioned a little bit before.
$1.5 million is nothing
to
these guys.
Yeah, that's nothing.
I mean, they spend that on – never mind. Brian Flores did not think that it was enough. He released a statement saying that he basically was disappointed in the results.
Correct.
I do feel for Flores, who we now know – I mean, we thought he was kind of a paperweight and a waiting for Sean Payton, but now we 100% know that. I also feel for Mike McDaniel because I want Mike McDaniel to succeed, and he didn't do any of this crap. Yes, you sign up for that when you become an NFL coach. I think the fact that it's presented as Ross joking about tanking is a joke in and of itself.
Yeah.
Here's my biggest thing and my biggest question, our QAnon stan over here. Does this hurt or help Tua? Let's say Tua, and let's say for argument's sake, he doesn't have a very good season. Does it hurt him that they're not going to have that pick because they'd probably take another quarterback with it?
Yes, I think it does help Tua because of what you just said. It makes it harder for them to replace him. They have one less trade chip to, you know, all these guys go for three first-round picks. Well, they have one less first-round pick to possibly replace him. But also, it hurts him in the fact that it was pretty clear for the last 2 years, basically since he got drafted, the last 2 years, the organization has been trying to replace him,
right.
basically ever since they drafted him. So that hurts, but also that's kind of in the past. That already had hurt him. So going forward, I guess he's slightly less replaceable.
Mm. Hurt or help Tua?
It helps him.
It's a little bit harder to get a better quarterback.
You can't do this.
Your man
now.
Stays.
If you're the Dolphins, you can't do this now. You can't bring in Tom Brady. How are you going to pull this off? I mean, is the NFL going to like even allow something like this to happen? Because guess what? If he wants to do this part ownership thing, which I'm guessing was the entire incentive for Brady to actually join the Miami Dolphins, all 32 owners have to approve it. All 32. That's pretty steep. And let's be honest, like most owners across the NFL probably dislike Tom Brady.
That's a great point. It's also just a really, I don't know, like the NFL ownership always weirds me out too, because like the Packers are owned by the city, but they have that president guy. I think it's Mark Murphy or Mike Murphy.
Yeah, Chairman
the,
Murphy.
The chairman, yeah.
It's the People's Republic of Green Bay. They're communists. Everyone owns the team at the same equal share. That is not a society I want to live in. Capitalism, baby.
It's definitely an interesting setup, but yeah, to your point, they so all of them welcomed the guy from Walmart in with open arms too.
Yeah, that is true.
Billionaire's gonna billionaire.
But with Brady, I think now that Brady to Miami is done. Like, well, that possibility is done.
Also, like, until Brady is like 50 years old, everyone's gonna be like, oh, is he just joining the ownership group so he can be the quarterback in 6 months? Like, until he's 55 years old and he actually can't do that, I feel like, you know, other owners are gonna have rabbit ears when it comes to that.
Right. Definitely. Yeah, yeah, all the connections he has. All right, so where do we go from here with the Deshaun Watson situation? We're going to talk about this a little bit in the next segment probably as well. But I do want to touch on the fact that today is the deadline, correct, for the NFL? I thought it was 3 days.
It is today, but here's the thing. They can also push the deadline back if they really want to.
True.
I know we're going to get into more details about it coming up, but it does seem like the NFL is going to flex on this Sue Robinson ruling.
Sue Robinson recommending 6 games for Deshaun Watson in the NFL. And one of her footnotes in her ruling, by the way, I believe it was footnote 51, talked about the different standards for players than has been for owners. So coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, we're going to touch a little bit about that. Deshaun Watson getting a lot of love at practice. You need to hear what he threw at a fan. Plus, Zach Wilson comments on the mother situation. That's coming up. But first, I'm going to tell you about our friends at BUSR. Guys, football season coming up. Baseball's full swing, excuse me. There's never been a better time to sign up and start winning money with BUSR. So go to BUSR.com/ESPN right now. That's BUSR.com/ESPN. You can double your deposit within the first 24 hours. Do you have an NFL futures bet that you know will cash in? You're confident. The Texans have an over-under set at 4.5 games right now. Do you think they're going to win more? Maybe. You're a hater, and you think they're going to lose every darn game. How about this? You can still get the Astros at plus 400. So go to BUSR.com/ESPN. Start placing your bets. Maybe you're more of a roulette or a blackjack fan. I'm telling you guys, everything you need is at BUSR.com/ESPN.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're ready for some football, baby.
The countdown to the NFL season continues with Vanessa and Gallant.
All right, 36 days away from the NFL regular season kicking off. Of course, we're in the midst of training camp. We're going to have that Hall of Fame game. We're going to have the preseason games. But in 36 days, it's the real thing. And for more on that, we bring in our jersey consultant, one Paul Gallant. Who's number 36 for you?
It's got to be the bus, Jerome Bettis, all 5'11", 255 pounds of him. Played at Notre Dame, drafted by the Los Angeles Rams, the rookie of the year in 1993. 6-time Pro Bowler, 2-time first team All-Pro, and of course, winner of Super Bowl 40 with the Pittsburgh Steelers after one of my favorite moments as a sports fan involving a team that I was not rooting for. Mm. Steelers, mm-hmm. Colts, mm. AFC Championship game of 2005. Yeah. Remember when Jerome Bettis almost blew that game by fumbling the ball? And who was the guy that had been stabbed that picked it up by the Colts and almost took it to the house? And soup sandwich Ben Roethlisberger somehow tripped him, and that ended up costing the Colts a chance.
You know
how
the Haslams use the words triggered in their statement?
Yes.
Congratulations on triggering me. But some days are hard to pick a jersey number. This day is not hard. Good choice with Jerome Bettis.
Shout out to a couple of safeties, too. Merton Hanks, who had a Davis Mills length neck. Also, Lawyer Malloy, my guy from the Pats back in the day. On top of that, Leroy Butler for Joel Blank's Packers.
All right, so let's talk more about this Watson situation. Aaron Wilson reporting that league sources and legal experts predict the NFL is going to exercise the right to file the appeal, and that Roger Goodell will come in, save the day, and give Deshaun more suspensions, more games suspended. What do y'all think?
I mean, if you just read the Sue Robinson write-up, it does feel like it's an indirect assist back to Roger Goodell to finish the job, because he clearly thinks Watson's full of it.
Say finish the job in a mob voice.
Hey, finish the job over there.
Yes.
You know that thing? Do that thing. That thing we talked about. Can you finish that thing?
Yeah.
All right. You got it. All right. Click.
Yeah. No, I agree. I mean, look, we read the footnote, like we said in the last segment, where she talked about basically how the NFL has been inconsistent, especially dealing with owners.
Not
I don't think it's a coincidence
either that
yesterday they released the Dolphins punishment, and that it was also six games for the owner, Stephen Ross. So we'll see what happens there.
I did think they were related, but now I'm looking at it from this perspective. Of course, it is a bit of misdirection, that's for sure. But I think that with the way that Robinson challenged the NFL throughout this report, there was a pretty damning line about how the NFL hasn't been forward thinking in forever. It's like, oh wait, we just hired you. This is what the NFL is probably thinking. Like, they're giving it back to Goodell to do something heavy.
They did hire her to be quote unquote neutral.
Yeah, they did. Here's the question, because assuming that Aaron Wilson is right and that the NFL does decide to levy a longer suspension, probably season long, I wonder what the timeline is for how long it'll take for this to play out. I mean, there will be an appeal process. I imagine that Watson will continue to practice.
Watson's people had said they would sue.
Right.
I mean, if they're going to not sue Robinson, sue the league. So if they're going to sue the league, what's that going to look like? What is that process going to look like?
It's a good question. I imagine, just given that everything in court seems to be taking forever these days, that this will be a dragged out process. So would Watson be suspended for 14 games this season and 3 games next year or something like that? Would it go even further back where Watson gets suspended at the end of the regular season, which would actually be kind of awesome, right? Like, if this drags out until October and they think that they have a chance, maybe it drags into November or December, and then all of a sudden, bam!
Yeah.
Suspension enacted.
Watson getting a lot of love at Browns training camp. Jake Trotter, who covers the Browns for ESPN, uploaded a video of him not only getting autographs, but he had something around his neck.
Right.
A towel.
Yeah.
And look, it's not uncommon. I remember growing up going to Colts training camp. You went to pay, whatever.
Yeah.
You want the shoes. You want the headbands. Yes, the sweaty towels. You want anything you can get from an athlete. I don't know that
I want the towels, though?
I would not presently want a towel from Deshaun Watson.
I wouldn't either, because it seemed to be, as they say, hand-sized, which he
allegedly
is a big proponent of in all situations. So,
I mean, to be fair, though, you know that towel probably means a lot to him. It's his own personal towel that he brought to practice.
Yeah.
It's covered in sweat.
Oh.
This is what I wonder about. So, you get a towel from Deshaun Watson. There's no autograph on it. He just tosses it on you, by the way, like it's a Kleenex. And what do you do next? Do you frame the sweaty towel?
It's disturbing.
Do you use the towel as a towel for you going forward? Do you put it in the bathroom? Do you put it in the washing machine and put it in the bathroom? That's what I'm trying to figure out. It's not memorable. He just gave you his laundry.
Honestly, and even if it's not Deshaun Watson, anyone's towel, I'm no thanks.
Yeah,
dude.
No.
I'm good. Davis Mills, don't throw me your towel.
Yeah,
I'm
don't
good.
Throw me your towel, but especially if a towel is the central part of almost 30 lawsuits. Tony Busby was on ESPN
Where
yesterday.
Are the towels?
Tony Busby's the one, of course, that represents the majority of the women involved in the civil cases. He's going to have a press conference on Thursday at 1 o'clock, quote, to update the public on the status of the Deshaun Watson and Houston Texans cases and to provide comment regarding the pending NFL proceedings. Ashley Solis will be there. Look, I understand Tony Busby has a job to do, but him putting the Houston Texans in this, the Texans have settled their cases.
Mm-hmm.
All of them.
Mm-hmm.
And they really were only named in one, so they really only, quote-unquote, needed to settle one, and yet they settled with 30 different women. Why is he including the Texans in this?
A great question.
Is it for clout? Is it for attention?
Well, we know him. He's not about clout or attention at all.
Yeah, very chill guy.
Never Tony Busby. Yeah, you just made a bunch of settlement agreements. I'm assuming that confidentiality is probably a part of them. So let's have a press conference. I don't understand it. It probably is going to be him trying to, I guess, flex on whatever the NFL is doing and maybe put some peer pressure on the league to do more than whatever they're doing. I don't know, though. It seems at this point, now that all these settlements have been reached, other than an attention grab, what is this by Tony
Right,
Busby?
Especially if, like, and Ashley Solis, the first woman who we heard
She's going to be there.
She had a very tearful conversation with the media. She was the first face, quote-unquote, that we had for this. Look, it's over. I mean, other than one lawsuit, right, hasn't he only not settled with one woman? It's over. And I don't mean that to be insensitive. I don't mean that I think he didn't do it. Not saying he did. I'm just saying that two grand juries didn't indict him. The NFL is currently making their decision. Unless one woman that's holding out on the civil cases decides to take him to court or try to again to a grand jury, it is over.
Pretty
like
much.
That's just a factual thing.
Specifically Busby's role in it.
Correct.
Yeah, is Busby's update going to be, hey, we settled all but one of the cases?
Right.
All right, meeting
bye.
Over. Bye.
Yeah.
That would be funny if that was all it was.
How do you think this goes? I mean, because this is a guy that was on, Busby was on First Take, and by the way,
it's a man who had a tank in his front yard.
Yeah,
so.
I was corrected, by the way, 9 a.m. tomorrow is the deadline for the NFL to decide on Deshaun Watson, but as you brought up and as Mike Florio had written an article about, they can extend it if they want because they're the NFL and they can do whatever they want.
Mm-hmm.
Do you guys think it gets extended, or do you think Goodell announces a longer suspension?
Yeah, I think Goodell's going to put in a longer suspension. They have to. They look weak right now. Oh, but we punished Stephen Ross, even though we really got exposed because an owner tanked and then we had a really crappy explanation for why he tanked. Oh, he was joking and no one really remembers what he said anyway. Yeah, they look kind of weak right now, and I think Goodell is sensitive to appearing that way and will strike back hard because of it.
All right, Zach Wilson deleted social media. He is done with
it. Good for him. Good for him,
quote,
seriously.
For me, it just comes down to limiting what voices I really need to hear right now. It's here, hearing what my coaches have to say, what the other quarterbacks have to say, and what my teammates are thinking on every single play. And then he said this. We have this quote from Zach Wilson.
Well, I have the entire quote that you just read, but here's the entire quote.
I think for me, it just comes to limiting what voices I need to really hear. And right now, it's hearing, you know, what my coaches have to say, what the other quarterbacks have to say, and really my teammates and what we're thinking on every single play. Even parents sometimes can be a distraction.
And you made us aware, Sean, before the show that there was just no reaction to that last part.
No, completely no soul.
None.
The joke. Like, I don't think they got it. Like, it was insane because the rest of the interview was or the press conference was pretty chummy with the vaunted New York media, and then he drops a little, hey, you know, even parents can be a distraction, and nothing.
And media laugh at way less, right? Like, you'll hear guys make the lamest jokes or say something that's not even funny, and you have all these media scrum people. Oh my God, that's so funny.
That was pretty funny. I mean, his mom is insufferable online.
Come on, Rich Cimini.
Yeah.
Chuckle a little bit.
Yeah. Who is the other guy? Bart Hubbard. What's up, bro? What are you doing?
Zach Wilson's mom is so, like, live, laugh, love, and she's trying to make, like, she has merchandise.
Yeah.
Zach Wilson's mom has merchandise.
I have a friend who has
you won't
a mom
buy a shirt.
That's doing similar things.
Really?
Yeah.
Wait, similar things?
She is 100% using her, let's just say, child's fame to kind of branch off and do her own thing.
Gotta love it.
And it's not very good, but because the child has a loyal support group, the mother actually has created a very low-level influencer brand of about 10,000 followers through this. So it is kind of working.
Just because it's working doesn't mean it should happen. I know a lot of parents that have Instagram accounts for their children, and they post as if they're their children.
Do they like
babies?
Yes.
Okay.
Like children. Like, my name's Amara, and today I woke up.
Yeah,
blah,
had a
blah,
fun
blah.
Play date with
it's
whatever.
It's very strange to me.
You think that's strange?
Yes.
How about the pets accounts?
I don't know.
Where the pets speak.
That plays.
You like pet accounts?
Oh.
I think it's funny.
Pooh Man, what are you doing? Oh, my paw rent was so annoying today.
Here's my thing.
Okay, if you use paw rent, you should be
executed.
You
would use paw rent if you had... You do have a cat.
I have a cat. You know what makes me want to kill myself every day?
Oh.
Waking up and knowing that one of my best friends from college's dog has like 40 times as many followers on Instagram as me.
See, that plays.
I have a friend, one of my good friends from college, she and her husband's dog has an Instagram account, and I'm not going to lie, it's cute.
This is a cute dog.
I think with parents, too, it feels like they're exploiting their child.
That's what it is. It's because your child is a human being
that
you're
exploiting.
They will
eventually grow up.
It's different to exploit a dog.
And want to maybe not have photos of them naked in the bath as a four-year-old
also captions written in their voice.
Correct.
I would like it if someone just went with it and said, "Left a massive striper in my diaper today." Suck it, parents.
Yeah.
You can be the first one to do it if you ever have a kid. Scary thought, but you can do it. All right.
I would exploit my kid for content. I do.
No, you'd want to kill yourself because your kid would get more followers than
you.
You
know, that would be okay because it would be my kid. It's more the giant golden doodle that's 6 feet tall having more followers
than
me.
And my friend's dog is a golden doodle, by the way. All right, if you have pets, kids, if you have a home, listen up because TGS is going to make it easy to get better insurance. It's not a hassle anymore. They have a new system. You have 36 carriers and quotes given to you within 15 seconds. Here's all you have to do. Text the word money, M-O-N-E-Y, to 232323. Their system asks for your home address. You send it back, and you get a full quote within 15 seconds. It sounds like a scam. It's not. It is such a good company that their online rating is almost perfect, and their average customer saves over $870 on home insurance. Again, I know you don't like to shop for it. Home insurance is not fun to shop for, but it's the easiest it's ever been thanks to TGS. So one more time, text money to 232323. Get your home insurance quote and save big today.
ESPN 97.5. Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
More broadcasters need to be like Vin Scully. He knew when to let it breathe. He used the English language in a beautiful way. And yesterday he passed away at age 94. Pour one out for an absolute legend, not only in baseball, but he actually called some historic football moments as well, guys. 94 years old and just did a lot, not only for the game, but first Brooklyn and then Los Angeles. Kind of the soundtrack of a lot of folk summers.
Yeah. I mean, look, to do every single Dodgers game is one thing, but to do massive, important moments on a national level, guess who called the ball going through Bill Buckner's legs in the 1986 World Series? It was Vin Scully. Guess who called this the catch? The Dallas Cowboys, the San Francisco 49ers, I want to say the 1980
NFC
Championship game.
It was Joe Montana to Dwight Clark.
Correct.
It was, yeah, known as the catch.
Take it away, Vin.
Third and three. Montana looking, throwing in the end zone. Clark caught it! Dwight Clark! It's a madhouse, a candlestick.
Perfect.
I'm not going to lie. I didn't know he called that until yesterday.
I didn't either.
And look, I'm showing my age here. I've always heard of the catch. I didn't know that he narrated. Like, when you think of Vin Scully, you think of baseball, but I didn't know that he called one of the most iconic moments
in football.
Really, in football.
I had no idea he did football either. And yeah, it does date me, but guess what? I mean, I wasn't born until 1989. That happened in,
I wonder how long he did. That was the last game he ever called. That was the last one?
Yeah, that was the last game that he actually ever called football-wise. But
go ahead.
Oh, no. Most of these guys, they're unbelievably talented at multiple sports. You just don't generally hear them doing the other sports.
He also narrated one of the most historic moments in baseball, Hank Aaron's record.
One ball and no strikes. Aaron waiting. The outfield deep and straight away. Fastball is a high drive into deep left center field. Buckner goes back to the fence. It is gone. What a marvelous moment for baseball. What a marvelous moment for Atlanta and the state of Georgia. What a marvelous moment for the country and the world. A black man is getting a standing ovation in the Deep South for breaking a record of an all-time baseball idol. And it is a great moment for all of us, and particularly for Henry Aaron.
I mean, you cannot get better than that.
And he also, if you listen to it, we cut out some of the just natural sound in the middle. He let it breathe for like 40 seconds.
That's a great point. I'm glad you brought that up.
I mean, not a lot of broadcasters feel comfortable doing it. I know for me that when we're doing a show like this, I always get very nervous about the idea of a pregnant pause.
No.
Which, by the way, isn't necessarily always a bad thing. But in a play-by-play broadcast moment, you are supposed to let stuff breathe. And I really wonder, if we were to teleport back in time, like, did he have universal 100% approval ratings back in the day? Because there's no broadcaster really like that today. I mean, Joe Buck's the one who does the most baseball and football, and I think Buck gets a lot of undue crap, but I'm not going to tell people how to feel about a certain broadcaster. There's a lot of people out there that don't like him.
Well, everyone thinks Joe Buck's out to get their team.
Which is weird because he's so deadpan.
I completely agree. I think it maybe helped that Vin Scully was did primarily Dodgers games, obviously, other than the times that he dipped into football. The other thing that it's been touching to see has been so many African Americans that have said how much they love Vin Scully, primarily because of that call, because of pictures of him and Jackie Robinson and the fact that he was at the forefront of actually treating them with respect and treating them as equals. I think that just adds to his legend years later. Yeah. Because let's face it, a lot of people back then, because of what was going on, were racist. And here was Vin Scully with these African Americans, with men, of different color, treating them the same.
You totally forget about the fact that, and I think that the Dodgers broadcaster before Scully was Red Barber, and he took over after that, but I forgot. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy just to think of all the things that he was around. And you would think of him primarily as the Dodgers broadcaster, but I mean, that's the kind of sports broadcasting career that you want to have. I don't really know who the next version of this will be. Like, there really isn't somebody that I think kind of brings that kind of appeal together. And maybe it's just nostalgia talking, Vanessa. But, on the Twitch chat, a couple of people have brought up some old names. Keith Jackson. I know Brent Musburger always got me excited when I heard him on the call of a college football game, too. There's a bunch of names that we will remember for a very long period of time. But he is different. I can't really explain why
there's
or how
he's different.
There's a purity
there. There's a wholesomeness. There's a purity. There's
the wholesomeness
fact that,
is great.
There's the fact that, like, even as legendary as some more recent broadcasters are, they didn't call moments in history that were historic for not only baseball, but, like, racism and civil rights and all of that.
Yep.
And do it so eloquently. And I'm glad you brought up that he let broadcasts breathe, because that's something when you listen to his home run call of Kirk Gibson, which we played earlier, we cut out that pregnant pause because you're not going to play a minute of Nat sound on the radio.
Right.
But it is very important to note that he did let it pause and that he realized that even though people would love to hear him, that they want to hear what's going on more.
I think after the Buckner through the legs in the 86 World Series, I read this last night, and it might be another game in that World Series. Guess how long he just let it breathe for?
A minute?
3 minutes and 15 seconds.
Gosh.
But why not? I mean, it was the one of the craziest endings to a baseball game that you'll ever see. I mean, the Red Sox completely choked it away, but I mean, my God, it goes through the legs of the sure-handed first baseman. It is incredible. Just the knowledge he had to not make it about himself. It was always about what you're watching. And to say the word wholesome, I think perfect descriptor, Vanessa.
Yeah.
And not just the knowledge, but like the lack of ego to do that, mm-hmm. to just let it ride for that long, because there's a certain security that comes with not talking for 3 straight minutes as an all-time play is happening. And in a way, that lack of ego, that kind of, you know, he never made himself the story, never tried to make himself a star, is what made him a star to so many people in their eyes.
I love that. And there was actually somebody on ESPN this morning, I wish I remembered who it was, that talked about how during one of these moments, I don't remember the classic moment it was, he actually turned his back to what was going on because he didn't want to be tempted to talk over what was happening. I think that's absolutely incredible. Pour one out for a legend, Vin Scully, 94 years old, job well done, and like Paul said, just universally loved. Not anything really bad you can say about him. All right, guys, the biggest pro football contest in Vegas is back. 12 Woo! Million guaranteed prizes, 2 ways to win, and no rake. The Circus Sports Millions with quarterly payouts and 100% paybacks is the first contest. So you make 5 NFL pick against the spread each week, get 1 point for each correct selection and 0.5 point for a push, $1 million for the first prize winner, over $3.5 million in cash prizes for entries 2 through 100. And then you also have the Circus Survivors. Y'all know how Survivors pools work. So you choose a different winning team each week, straight up without the spread. Once a team is chosen, of course, you can't use them for the rest of the year. So you have to choose wisely. There is only one winner in this contest. You have to enter in person. So if you have a trip planned for Vegas, the Texans are playing the Raiders, etc., maybe you want to go on a little summer excursion, just go to the Circa Casino and Resort while you're there. You enter this contest, but once you enter it, you can play from anywhere. So enter in Vegas, play from anywhere. Visit Circa Sports, CIRCASports.com for details.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Real fun sports.